that doesn't fill you with hope, I don't know what will. And I really want to challenge you to reflect on that. If something did not stir in your heart as you listened to the testimony of transformation that God did in Colby's life, ask God to stir your heart. Ask him to move your heart. Because if you're not moved right now, you should be concerned that there's been a hardness that's developed in your own flesh, in your own sinful heart, but also that the enemy is wanting to dull your ears and your eyes from seeing what God is doing right in front of you and what he wants to do in your life. So I'd encourage you to tell somebody, say, hey, I'm afraid, I am unmoved. And let that person pray for you, and then I'd encourage you to pray for yourself. To send you off into your groups, I want to just ask you a question to think about and tell you a quick story and just summarize the lessons that we did this week. So the question, the story, and the summary, all right? The question is this, and it's really two parts, is I want everybody to try to do this. Can you remember, think back into your childhood, can you remember the first time that someone really hurt you? And then the second part of the question is the first time you really hurt someone else. So, you know, maybe you were itty bitty, maybe you were like 10 or 11 or 12, but I want you to think like the actual, can you put yourself back in the moment, first time, not like the worst time, but the first time you felt like, oh, someone is hurting me. And then the first time you remember, oh, I just hurt that person. Okay, so for me, like my earliest memory, like I have a lot of memories that are earlier, but of being hurt by someone and also causing significant pain to someone, it was the same event. And I want to share with you that story. I shared this at Shoreline a couple years ago, so some of you might have heard it, but it happened to me when I was in fourth grade. So I'm like, I think 11 years old at this point, because it was after my birthday. I was 10, or actually I turned 10. I turned 10 in fourth grade, so I was 10. All right, here we go. And this is actually right before I met Jesus. So I wasn't a Christian yet, and we at the end of our school year in fourth grade, we did a field trip about 45 minutes away to a museum. It was terrible. It was boring. No fourth grader wants to spend the day at the museum, but we were glad we weren't in class. And after the museum, before we had to go back to get picked up for our school, we had a picnic at a park. We brought our own sack lunches, and then we got to hang out at the park for a little bit before the buses took us back to school. And this is where me and my best friend, Sean Wells, were showing off for the ladies in fourth grade. And let me just describe this best friendship real quick. Here's the kind of best friendship it was. I don't know if you've ever had this, but the kind when you call the friend before school and ask what they're wearing and you kind of coordinate. Yes, guys do that too, or at least did when I was in fourth grade. And I remember vividly, Sean and I both had white button-up Ralph Lauren, like polo shirts that we would wear with the top button unbuttoned. And we had gold chains that we would wear. And then we had these little tiny mullets in the back. And we'd slick back the sides with mousse. And it had to be mousse. It couldn't be gel. And so that's the friendship me and Sean Wells had. And we just thought we were so cool. We ran the school. And so Sean and I are showing off for the girls on the playground after lunch, doing underdogs. You know what those are, on the swings where you run and you push and go under. And then we were doing it, you know, forwards and all the cool stuff. And then we started standing up on the swings and we were swinging, standing up. Ladies were really, I mean, they're gathered around. Ooh, yeah. And so Sean decided, he said, David, you know what will really impress this crowd that is gathered is if we do an underdog while you're standing on the swing. And at first I was like, physics don't seem to work out with that, but if it'll impress the ladies, why not? And so I get up on the swing and I'm standing there and Sean pulls me back and I know, like he pulls me back and you just know, no, this doesn't work. And so I was like, no, Sean, let's not do it. No, let's not do it. And he goes, no, come on, it's going to be great. He gets everybody else into it. Yeah, do it. And I'm like, no, I really don't want to do it. And then I remember him being like, we're going to do it. And so Sean just starts to run and push me, and I'm holding on, and he goes underneath me and flings, I mean, just chucks my feet up into the air. And you know how the swings do where they lose the slack or the tension, so there comes slack in it. And I just go up, And then it just yanks down. My hands pop off the chain. I land flat on my back. My head snaps back, hits the ground. And I'm just laying there like my wind's knocked out. And you know how you're, I'm doing that thing. My head is hurting. And when I open my eyes and kind of like gather myself, everyone is dying laughing. Like they're just cracking. No one's like, oh, are you okay? They're just like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. They're like high-fiving Sean. And I was so filled with rage because my friend had betrayed my trust and he had hurt me and everyone had laughed at me. I lost control and I got up and I went at Sean and I clenched my fists and I sprinted up to him. I pulled back my arm and I was gonna crush his face. But right before I did it, I saw his eyes and that like look of, I'm about to get punched. And he is my friend. We wore matching polos and chains. And at the last minute, I chickened out. I opened up my fist and slapped him. And then I've already been humiliated once. He just stands there and takes the slap. And I'm just standing there. We're like toe to toe. And in front of everybody, like a hush falls over the crowd. He goes, did you just slap me? And everyone started laughing again. And I just remember it was so humiliating. My dad was a chaperone on the trip and he was like over with the other parents and they were all kind of like, you know, they'd witnessed it, but it was too fast for them to do anything. And I just like walked over towards my dad, like embarrassed and ashamed and knowing I was in trouble. And I just gotten humiliated in front of all my friends. And here's what was really sad about that is that was all through the school year, Sean was my best friend, matching clothes, best friend. And then this was the end of the school year, the kind of last week field trip. And then all summer, we lost touch. And we come back to school in fifth grade. We're in a different class. We just never talked again. Our relationship was completely broken. He hurt me. I hurt him. And the relationship ended. And it was so like that. I carried that with me all through middle school and all through high school. We were in the same school. And even college, like we still had mutual friends and we'd kind of be around each other. When we come home from college, we never talked and we never had the same relationship. And I hated it. And so here's why I start with it. This is, I bet something like this, not exactly, but something like this has happened to you. And for some of you, it's happening right now. You started this school year with a friendship that is completely dissolved and broken because one of you hurt the other one or you both hurt one another. And all of us in this room have hopefully arrived at a place, maybe through this program, maybe before, where we really do have a deep desire in us to know and worship God. And the reason why we have that desire is because what we have learned about God is that he is a God who, even though we were his enemies because of our sin, and even though we have hurt him, put his son on a cross with our sin, even though we have broken the relationship, he's continued to come to us and love us. And he's done everything he can to make peace with us. And so we worship this God who's made peace with us and restored us to a right relationship with him. And this same God calls us, made in his image, to make peace with others who he has made in his image. So I want to show you a few scriptures that were in your lessons this week. Romans 5:1 says, all right, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. That is an incredible gift that now we have peace with God because he made us right through Jesus. And then we looked at Matthew 5:9, where Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. So you have a God who is a peacemaker, who's made peace with you. And he says, you will be blessed or happy when you are like a child of God, when you imitate your father and you make peace. So that brings us to the letter I in the word healing. We've said help, entirely trust God, assess the situation, life change, and now initiate reconciliation. We do our part to make peace with others by following God's plan for forgiveness and amends. So we are called to be peacemakers, but we all, in this room probably still have relationships that are not at peace. And I don't think it's because you don't want to make peace. I wish things could be right with Sean. It's because you don't know how. And I didn't know how. I didn't know what to do. And this week's lessons show you practically what you can do today, this week, to make peace where there's brokenness in your life. So I want to recap for you exactly how. So that there's three things. We talked about making peace through forgiveness, making peace through amends, and then we gave you a peacemaker plan. I hope you did your curriculum this week, your book work, and I hope you're ready to act on these things. So let's talk about making peace through forgiveness real quick. Two scriptures: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, here's what you do. So you don't rage on people. You don't hold bitterness against them. You don't talk about them behind their back with harsh words and gossip. Get rid of all that stuff. Here's what you do. You're kind and tenderhearted to the people that have hurt you. You don't attack them on the playground. You forgive them. How? Just as God through Christ has forgiven you. If God can forgive you through Jesus, we can forgive others as children of God. Romans 12 says that we shouldn't pay back evil with more evil. We should do things in such a way that everybody can see we're honorable. We do all that we can. All right, we don't just wait till someone else comes and tries to make things right with us. We do everything we can, everything in our ability to make peace and live in peace with everyone. We don't take revenge. We leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge and I will pay them back, says the Lord. So here was the definition you had in your curriculum of forgiveness. It was a decision to trust God with justice and vengeance. So I want you guys to understand this, that our forgiveness is not just excusing sin. Forgiveness is not just, man, somebody hurt me, they did something wrong, and I'm just going to try to forget about it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It's not excusing. It is deciding to trust God with justice and vengeance. And I want to make sure everybody gets how God does this. He does it one of two ways. Everybody look at me and hold up two fingers because I want to make sure you get this. God executes justice on sin, people who have hurt you, one of two ways. All right, hold up number one. Number one is this. He punishes them forever in hell, a place of eternal conscious torment. Are you able to punish anyone who has hurt you with eternal conscious torment in hell? Are you able to do that? No. God's justice is far, far more vengeful and powerful than anything you can do. Hold up number two. The second way God executes justice is by giving what they deserve to his own son, Jesus Christ. And if they would, by faith, put their faith in Jesus the way many, many of you in this room have, their sin will be forgiven and paid for by Jesus, a perfect sacrifice on the cross. Either way, God make sure that justice is served. He is a just God, and people will either get what they deserve or Jesus will get what they deserve. But all sin is paid for. It's not forgotten. It's not excused. Do you understand that? So we can give forgiveness to others because we can trust God that he's going to take care of what they've done to hurt us, either in a far more severe way than we ever could, or through taking their sin upon himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be upset, bitter, angry, or vengeful anymore. If you understand that justice is best served in God's hands, that he can do it better than you, and then you can actually just give justice to God and begin to love the person who hurt you. Because honestly, no matter how bad they've hurt you, because you're human and they're a human, you don't want them to experience the eternal justice of God in hell. And so you can actually love them enough to want the people who have hurt you to know the forgiveness of Jesus so that God's justice could be satisfied in Jesus instead of on them, because those are their only two options. So you are free to love somebody. And we do this through this forgiveness prayer. So I want to show you what this looks like. This is in your curriculum. This is a practical step every one of you can take. It goes like this: Dear God, I've been hurt by being knocked off the swing and embarrassed in front of my peers. You just add that in there. And I believe you care about my pain, so I'm asking you for comfort and healing. I'm not going to seek comfort and healing and getting my own revenge. I know that I'm a sinner and that my sins deserve punishment, and you forgave me through Jesus Christ, so I choose to forgive Sean Wells. I trust you and I surrender my desires for justice and vengeance to you. Help me now to know your love more intensely and to share your love with Sean. In Jesus' name, amen. When I went through regeneration, I prayed this prayer and inserted different circumstances and names seriously and thoughtfully and patiently 14 times. And you've got this little cross on your peacemaker plan that we're going to look at here in a little bit. But I really want to encourage you for that vertical bar to fill out every name and situation. You need to just turn over to God. Be like, God, I've been mad about this. I've been hurt about this. I've been scared about this. And I'm going to give it to you. And this prayer is like a pathway for you to do it. Let's talk about making peace through amends. Matthew 5, 23 through 24 says, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, so this is how the Jews of that day worshiped. That would be our equivalent of coming and worshiping God with our time and our voices at church. You know, if you're at church, basically, and you remember that somebody has something against you, he just says, stop. Stop worshiping in that way and go worship with your life and leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come offer your sacrifice to God. Reconciliation and making amends is very important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. In the same sermon in Matthew 7, Jesus says, hey, stop worrying about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And basically what Jesus is saying is, hey, in any conflict or broken relationship, you need to take responsibility for your part in it. Because as long as you have your part in it, you can't see their part clearly. So take care of your part first. So here's how we define amends in your bookwork: doing our part to repair the damage of our sin. So we all have to recognize that in all the broken relationships we have, in my broken relationship with Sean, yeah, maybe he started it, maybe he hurt me, but I had a part in it too. And so we all have logs in our eye. There's two sides to every conflict. And we all have people who have something against us. And so when we realize that, forgiveness starts with a prayer, but amends, it starts with a conversation. When we realize that, it needs to start with a conversation. And so in your bookwork, we gave you just a really clear guide that I want to encourage you all to use, the 5 A's of an amends conversation, where you will go to somebody and say, hey, can we talk? Can we sit down? I need 30 minutes. And you admit you're wrong. You don't say, if I hurt you, or if this was wrong, or if this bothered you. You just admit what you did. You don't say maybe. You don't say, hey, because you did this. You just admit your part and you're wrong, and you apologize. You say the words, I'm sorry for, and you say what you're sorry for. Then you ask for forgiveness. Because again, remember, confession without repentance is just an announcement. And so saying I'm sorry is your confession, and then asking for their forgiveness, you're seeking to really reconcile that relationship. So you say, will you forgive me? And then you accept the consequences, because there may be consequences for your actions. And you just say, hey, what do you need me to do? And then you alter your behavior. I'd like to make it up to you by. So you propose something like, hey, I'd like to make it up to you by, you know, apologizing to all the people that saw that and telling them that I was wrong, or like whatever it is, you figure out a way to alter your behavior to prove to them that you genuinely are repentant and you want to make right what you did wrong. And so you have this peacemaker plan on page 112. You have your book in your lap. Open up to 112. Hopefully everybody has something written. I have my book with me up here, and I can show you. You know, on my page 112, I actually added one. I have 15 names on my my vertical column, and then I've got 3 on my amends horizontal column still left to do. And you should write down names. Who do I need to pray this forgiveness prayer for? And who do I need to schedule a time? I need to send them a text today, tomorrow. I need to talk to someone in my home, a sibling or a parent, and say, hey, I'd like to have a conversation with you. What's it about? Well, actually, I want to apologize for something, and I want to have some time. And then you go through, you can have your book open. You can use these A's, jot down notes, script it out so you're ready, and be a peacemaker the way God calls you to. Because we serve a God who went to great lengths to make peace with us, and he calls us to make peace with one another. So I want to challenge you, work through it, pray, and then take action. Do your part. You are going to feel so confident and so free and so much closer to God when you obey him in this way and you allow him to work through you to extend forgiveness and love towards your enemies and to seek to make amends where you have made yourself someone else's enemy. So I want to close by showing you a message on Facebook from 2009. Because 2009, I was teaching a version of this to a group of like 7th graders. And they kind of called me on it because I shared this story with Sean Wells. And they were like, well, what have you done about it? Have you made amends? And I was like, no, it was a long time ago. And they were like, well, does the Bible have like a time limit on this? These clever little 7th graders. And I said, well, I don't have Sean's number. And they were like, hey, Dave, have you heard of the internet? And so I found Sean Wells, and I sent him this message on Facebook. I'm going to read it to you. Hey, man, I haven't seen or spoken to you in a long, long time. This is totally random, but I've been meaning to touch base with you about something. For the last 9 years, I've been serving as a youth pastor in Dallas, Texas. In January, I was leading a Bible study with 7th grade boys about friendship. And we were looking at several passages in the Bible and talking about conflict. And we observed that most people have a history of soured or dead friendships because we avoided conflict. And so the guys began to ask me lots of questions about my pattern of soured or dead friendships. How many could I remember? What caused them to break down, et cetera? Anyways, I told them about how I remember being good friends with you in the 4th grade. And I also remember very vividly getting into an altercation with you around a swing set on some kind of field trip. I remember lashing out and actually hitting you. I don't think it hurt you because I remember being humiliated when you laughed at me and everyone around me laughed also. Regardless of whether or not I hurt you, it was a horrible thing for me to do. And after that, our friendship ended and I avoided resolving the conflict. In our Bible study, we talked about the importance of working through conflict with friends by 1, admitting you're wrong, 2, apologizing, and 3, asking for forgiveness. The 7th grade boys, punks, challenged me and told me that they thought I should contact you and apologize. I thought it was a silly idea, but I told them I'd think about it. Well, I thought about it and realized it couldn't hurt, so I was wrong to hit you back then, so I acknowledge what I did. I am truly sorry. I apologize that I was a punk, and I'm sorry that I ruined our friendship. I was hoping you could accept my apology and forgive me. Ask forgiveness for both being a jerk and avoiding conflict resolution. Thanks for reading this. I know it's really random. I hope all is well with you and your family, David. If you're curious, here's a link to the discussion guide we used for our Bible study. So like that was all I could do. I didn't have his number. He was out of state. I couldn't meet him face to face. I sent that message and it was not, I don't even think it was 24 hours. It was just a few hours later that I received this message back from Sean. David, it's great to hear from you. I've always told people throughout my life about my childhood buddy, you. We had all kinds of fun. Honestly, I don't remember the altercation, but I do know we lost contact somewhere. I always regretted that. Regardless, no harm done. It's great to hear from you. I hope all is well and keep in touch. So it was so, honestly, you could tell in my message, it took me a couple weeks like to have the courage to send that message. But the conviction came to me through God's word and a bunch of 7th grade guys. And I just took the step of faith. And let me just ask you, like, do you think when I got that message back from Sean, I was glad I did? Yes, because that relationship broken for so long was restored. And yeah, we weren't kids. We don't, like, he's not wearing this tonight. Like, we're not matching. But we were able to like continue a conversation and talk about our families and try to meet up. It didn't happen, but I was in town one time and we didn't work it out, but we were like trying. And next time I'm there, we'll try again. Because there's not a barrier there. There's no question there. The relationship's been restored. And that's what God is calling us to do. And you can do it too. It's that simple. So I hope everybody has some messages like this in your inbox this week and tonight. And some conversations you have face-to-face, like I had at Corner Bakery with my dad. Hard one. We had it. On the couch at my house with my mom, talking about some of the hurt that was there, talking about things I did, owning my part, making amends. You guys can do it too. And let me pray that your conversation would spur you in that direction as you go to your rooms. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, you'd show us where you want us to make amends and how you want us to forgive. I pray that you would help us to know you well enough that we know we can trust your justice, to just hand that over to you and be free. Free just to love and serve others and then to make amends for our part. Help us to exalt Jesus, to walk closely with Jesus, to be powered by Jesus as we do this, not to do it from our own strength, but move us towards healing as we walk in obedience with you and healing in our relationships as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got about 40 minutes in your classrooms. Get in there and talk about this stuff. Have a great night of worship. Hag now.